44. Hayden. Nathan and the Centurions met Hayden, Caleb, and Max at the back of the Parabellum. The Marines looked tired, their postures slightly slumped as they approached. The battle for Sanisco had taken a lot out of them. It had taken a lot out of everyone. Hayden felt the same fatigue, both physical and mental. But he refused to give in to it. Until this was done. Isaac and Pyro were standing in the cargo hold as the ramp descended, waiting for the group with curious expressions. Hayden had explained the situation to Nathan, but otherwise the fighters were in the dark.
"Nice landing," Nathan said through his armor's external speakers. "Was that your doing, Ike?"
"Yes, sir," Isaac replied.
"Did she tell you there's an automated drop setting?"
Isaac glanced at Pyro, who shrugged. "You wouldn't learn anything that way, General. Besides, you know the old saying, don't you? Any landing you can walk away from?"
"Is a good one. Yes, I'm familiar."
"What's going on, Sheriff?" Pyro asked.
"We need Bryant," Hayden replied.
"Who?"
"The Koron-infected man we brought on board," Nathan said. "He's in the fridge." He turned to the Centurions. "Wait here."
"Yes, General," Rico replied. "General," Isaac said, "I saw some residents coming out of hiding near the convoy on the way down. We might want to send a representative to meet with them."
"Good idea, Sergeant," Nathan replied. "Rico, Bennett, you're up."
"Yes, sir."
"Bring Hicks with you," Hayden said. "They know him."
"Roger, Sheriff," Rico said.
"I'll wait outside," Nathan said.
"Come on, Caleb."
Hayden motioned him to follow. They went up the ramp, through the hold and up the stairs and back to the dropship's mess. The fridge was in the corner. Hayden opened it to reveal numerous boxes of MREs and a shivering Bryant sitting on top of them. They had removed Walt and the other deceased earlier, giving them a quick but proper send-off before Max vaporized them.
"The Master knows where you are and where you're going," Bryant said, his voice choppy through chattering teeth.
"It's not really a secret," Hayden replied. "In case you haven't noticed yet, we aren't all that scared of you or your boss."
He entered the fridge and grabbed Bryant by the arm, shoving him across the space to Caleb, who moved aside. Bryant fell past him and onto the floor of the mess.
"Oops," Caleb said. "I missed him."
Hayden smiled.
"You should be more alert, Colonel." "My bad."
Hayden came out of the fridge and grabbed Bryant again, yanking him back to his feet. He squeezed the man's arm harder than he needed to, causing him to let out a grunt of pain.
"Sorry. Guess I don't know my own strength,"
Hayden gritted out, fighting to maintain the sudden rage that filled him. He wanted to break every bone in Bryant's body, as if that would bring his family back.
"Easy, Sheriff," Caleb cautioned. "We still have a use for him."
"I'm not gonna tell you anything," Bryant said.
"You're acting as if you have a choice," Caleb replied. "I can literally make you talk."
Bryant glared at Caleb, frightened, because it was true.
"What do you want from me?"
"I want to know where Craik is headed," Hayden said.
"Craik?"
"The Axon who took the Interlink," Caleb added. "The one who killed the sheriff's wife and children."
Bryant smiled at the statement. Hayden punched him in the gut, causing him to double over.
"You think that's funny?" he growled.
"You could have served the Master,"
Bryant whispered breathlessly as he slowly straightened back up.
"You could have saved them. Their blood is on your hands, Sheriff."
Hayden grabbed Bryant by the neck, easily lifting his feet off the deck.
"All the blood is on your hands,"
Bryant eked out. Hayden squeezed.
"Sheriff," Caleb snapped, "if the host dies, the symbiote dies.
No, they come crawling out like the slimy worms they are," Hayden said.
"And how do you expect to communicate with it when that happens?"
Hayden opened his hand, letting Bryant fall to the deck.
"Let's take him outside. I don't trust myself with this piece of shit without Nathan to hold me back."
Caleb's face was tight, and he nodded as Hayden stormed away ahead of them. He needed to keep his composure. There were more valuable targets to focus on,
and killing Bryant would hurt more than help. He just couldn't stand the smug bastard goading him. He wanted Hayden to kill him before Caleb could make him talk. Hayden shook his head.
Idiot. Get a grip.
He crossed the hold and rejoined Nathan and the Centurions outside.
Where's Bryant? Nathan asked.
Card's bringing him, Hayden replied. I damn near killed him.
I don't blame you. Do you want me to shut off your augments?
No. Just stay close and grab me if I go at him again.
Pause that, Sheriff.
Hayden remained next to Nathan while Caleb led Bryant outside. Hayden didn't know what the Marine had done while he was alone with him, but he seemed much more subdued when they emerged.
He's ready to talk, Sheriff, Caleb said, shoving Bryant forward.
Hansen, Hayden said.
What about him?
Bryant glared at him.
Where do I find him?
Up north? Place used to be called Seattle, but I wouldn't go there if I were you. Not if you value your life.
Hayden was surprised at how easily he spilled the information. He glanced at Caleb, trying to tell if he was forcing the issue through the Relia symbiote. He didn't think so.
Then I guess it's good I don't really give a shit about my life right now. We dealt with your master's army of Jaxcluth. If he's got another one, we'll handle that too.
How are you gonna do that? Bryant asked. The Giants don't go that far north. That's why Hansen operates there. Do you think your collection of clones is enough?
He looked at Max, standing nearby.
Or are you counting on an intellect to save you? Believe me, Sheriff, that thing is only working for its master's best interests, the same way I'm working for mine.
Vite threatens the entire balance of the war, Max said.
Have you stopped to think about all of this, Sheriff? Bryant asked. Have you taken a second to wonder if maybe having my master in charge of the Hunger and the Axon might be a good thing for humankind? He can guarantee the safety of your worlds. He can help you rebuild this planet into a rival of the Axon homeworld.
Hayden glared at Bryant.
Maybe he should have thought about all that before his Axon murdered my family.
Maybe you should have thought about all that before you let them be murdered.
Hayden took a step toward Bryant, his right hand balled into a fist, but Nathan was ready. He moved in front of Hayden to stop him.
You are so flippant and arrogant. The great Sheriff Duke. Too good to serve anyone, no matter what it could mean for his people.
He told me what it would mean. Some folks for food, some for fighting. That's not the world I want to live in.
It's the world you're going to get whether you like it or not, Bryant said with a smile. You too, Card. You had an opportunity to save your people and didn't take it, as if you stand a chance against the might of what's to come. Do you think the Jaxcluth are the end? They're only the beginning. So go north. All of you. I dare you.
Bryant started laughing. Caleb turned to face him, and Hayden thought he would freeze him the way he had the Reapers. He didn't. He pulled a micro spear from somewhere on his skin and jammed it into Bryant's chest, yanking it out angrily. Bryant collapsed to the ground.
You should have let me do that, Hayden said.
Caleb looked at him and nodded.
Probably.
We could have used him to find out what Hansen has waiting, Nathan said. You killed him too soon.
Caleb shook his head.
He wouldn't have given it up. That wasn't Bryant speaking, it was Hansen.
Hayden sighed.
You really should have let me do it.
What's the plan, Sheriff? Max asked. Do we go north? I want to go north.
Ha ha ha.
Hayden wanted to go north too. As badly as he had ever wanted anything. Craik was headed there, to take the Interlink through a portal to another world that could be anywhere in the universe. They had to stop the Axon before it fled. But they also had to see the survivors to safety, especially if there were a large number of civilians hiding in Senosa. They weren't any safer here than they would have been in Sinisco, but they might be safe inside the Pilgrim.
Max, can you do some math for me? Hayden asked.
Pause. What is the calculation?
Craig left Sanisco, what, 6 hours ago?
Affirmation.
It's driving the Caddy, which isn't the fastest mod box we had. Top speed around 50 kilometers per hour at best, plus it needs to go the long way around to head north. Plus we haven't cleared any of the roadway north of ports. And actually the bridges across the river in ports are down.
We have to assume Hansen repaired them, Nathan said, and cleared the highway in preparation.
Good point, Hayden agreed. Let's go with an average of 60 kilometers per hour to be safe. 6 hours of lead time as of this moment. Do you know the distance from Sanisco to Seattle?
Approximately 1,300 kilometers, Max said.
That car was electric, wasn't it? Pyro asked. It'll need to recharge.
It can recharge the car from its skin, Max said. It'll take him 22.6 Earth hours to get there, Sheriff.
What about from Sanosa to the Pilgrim launch site? Hayden asked. You've been there before?
Approximately 1,000 kilometers, 16.6 hours.
We're right on the mark, Sheriff, Pyro said. If the Axon enters Seattle and goes right through the portal, we'll run out of time.
Maybe not, Isaac said. 60 kilometers per hour in a heavily armored mod box carrying sensitive equipment along centuries-old roads? I think we're overestimating the top speed.
If we drop it to 50, it'll take 27 hours, Pyro said, doing the math in her head. We can get the Parabellum from the desert to the northwest in 2 hours, easy. We could be there before the Axon arrives.
Crake, Max corrected her.
Ha, ha.
Then what? Caleb asked. Do we storm in full tilt, guns blazing? Bryant may have been exaggerating, but there's no way Hansen is sitting there by his lonesome. Hansen isn't the primary target, Hayden reminded them. We need to stay focused on Craig. We get the interlink back, we throw a wrench in Veidt's plans.
Enough of a wrench to stop him? Isaac asked.
I don't know. Maybe not. But we can't sit here and do nothing. I want that bastard dead.
I know you do, Sheriff.
Max, can we use the QDM as a bomb? Hayden asked. As a last resort?
Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Ha ha.
Negation. Destabilizing a fully powered QDM will destroy the planet.
That's out then, Nathan said. Sheriff, we might have time to go back to the weapons vault. If we take out the Axon there, we can access some of Tinker's more powerful toys.
That'll add 3 hours to the travel time, Pyro said.
That's tempting, but it's cutting it too close, Hayden decided. Especially if we need to land the dropship far enough away that Hansen won't see us coming. We'll need the time to get into position.
We don't have to stay with the civilians, Nathan said. We're only a handful of people.
We do need to stay with them, Hayden countered. They're putting their faith in us, their hope. As long as we're here, they'll believe they can make it to safety. If we abandon them, that all falls apart.
Hayden's right, Pyro said. They need him. And you, General. And you, Caleb. Like it or not, you're their heroes now.
Hayden shook his head. I'm no hero, Chandra. I'm just doing what Natalia would want me to do.
Like it or not, Pyro repeated with a shrug.
I think it's settled, Sheriff, Caleb said. We take the caravan south, and then we hop a flight back north to intercept Craig before he makes it to the portal.
Hayden stared at Caleb for a moment. Then he swept his eyes across each of the people gathered with him. It was the right thing to do.
Pause. Let's get these people organized ASAP so we can get this show on the road.